last time, because obviously it's going to build on what we learned last time. Okay, if you remember the first parak, we spoke about the recognition that everything is made up of the Dvar Hashem. If you remember, he began with the question, V'yadata hayom v'ashevos el vavecha, you need to take it to heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the God above and below. Ain od, there's nothing other than Hashem. So the Baal Tani asked the question, is it so hard to believe that there's nothing other than Hashem, that we need to emphasize it, V'yadata hayom v'ashevos el vavecha, take it to heart, there's no other God. So we explained by quoting the Baal Shem Tov, who explained the pasuk in Tehillim, La'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Bashamayim, that the word of Hashem is forever in its place in Shemayim. And the Baal Tani began to explain to us last time that everything in creation exists at every given moment because Hashem is willing it into existence at this very moment. In other words, the glasses on Yoni's face right now only exist, not because he bought them in some store once upon a time, because at this very second Hashem is willing them into creation. And it's filled with the words of Hashem. Now you'll open up a chumash and you'll say, I don't see anything in the opening Psukim of Bereishis about Yoni's glasses. And the answer is, as the Baal HaTanya explained to us, it's true. The word of Hashem has to be filtered through many different filters into this world. Sometimes it comes down directly as Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. It's Hashem's actual original utterance. And sometimes it's through substitutions and transpositions and changes of the letters, Gematrios, Chalufei Tevos, Roshei Tevos, Sofei Tevos, all sorts of different ways to take the original letters, the building blocks of creation, and to reformulate them into different substances, to the point that everything in this world is actually made up of those original letters. And as the Baal HaTanya explained to us, La'olam Hashem Dvar Chanitza B'Shamayim, at every second HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pumping that into existence, and if Hashem were to withdraw His presence for even a moment, not only would everything collapse, it's much more than that. As you explained last time, it's such a powerful and wild idea. Not only would the world cease to exist, but if Hashem withdrew His life force, then the world will no longer have ever existed. Right? It's not that Mikan Ula Haba, the world will no longer exist. When Hashem withdraws His presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases, you know, strike it from the record, everything that ever was. Okay, so we're constantly living within the Dvar Hashem. And just an amazing way, and we'll see, we're going to develop it further tonight. This is an unbelievable way to live your life. To realize that this, again, this very pen that I'm holding in my hand is being created at this very moment through the Ratzon Hashem, through the Dvar Hashem, through the Dibur of Hashem. And it goes back to creation itself. And at every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing it into existence, which means that everything is filled with this energy and this life force, this chiyus, that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that God created the world, put it in motion, and then disappeared. And that may be, by the way, one of the critical differences between, you know, the Jews and the Greeks in terms of the Hanukkah story. Right? Do we believe in a creator who's actively involved in our world? Or do we believe that maybe once upon a time there was a creator, but he's withdrawn his presence from our world. Okay? So let's learn the second parak tonight. It's a short parak, but there's a lot to unpack, a lot to think about. So let's see. V'hine mikan tshuvas haminim v'giloi shorish te'usam hakofrim b'hashkacha pratis uva'osos uva'movse ha'torah. So what we're learning, says the Baal HaTanya, and his words are so measured, they're so precise. And that's why, again, if we had... You know, like I told you, I want to try to go through the 12 chapters just to get a taste of it, right? But you can be medayik in every word. You can learn bi'il in every word of the Baal HaTanya. But let's just get an overview. This, what we're learning, he says, is an answer, is a response to the minim, to the heretics. And this is the giloi shoresh tu'usam. It's through understanding this that we uncover the mistake of those people who deny hashkacha pratis. Those who deny Hashem's active, constant involvement in our life. Those who claim, I believe in a God, I believe in a creator, but that there's no divine providence. Hashem is not busy, actively involved in our life. Or those who deny the osos, umovsei haTorah. Again, the wondrous moments where HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself in a nigla type of way, in a reveal type of way, as opposed to, as we often interact with Hashem, hiding within nature. But the Kofrim, they question the Hashgacha Pratis, they question the miracles of the Torah, and they don't believe that Hashem is actively involved in the world. So what we're learning, says the Baal Tani, is the response to that way of thinking. Shetoim b'dimyon amakozev, that they err with their corrupted, with their false thinking. Shemidamin mase Hashem osei shamayim v'aretz lemaisei enosh v'tachbu losav. That they're medamin, that they compare, that they think that the way that Hashem creates heaven and earth is the same way that a person creates. Okay, let's pause for a second and let's look at a Gemara. Now, I'm very cautious, again, about bringing any other examples to try to elaborate. I just want to let the Baal Tani do the talking. I'm here just to be his voice. But I want to share one Gemara which I think will help us to better understand, again, what we're about to learn. It's a beautiful Gemara. It's a very beautiful Gemara. It appears in Brachos. It appears in Maseches Megillah. Let's take a look. Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Amar Aleph, Rav Shimi Bar Ukva V'Amri La Mar Ukva. Have Shchiach Kamei Der Rishon Ben Pazi. V'Have Mesader Agarata Kamei Der Rishua Ben Levi. Amar Lei. Mai Dichsiv Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'Chol Karavai Es Shem Kacho. You recognize this Pasuk? Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem. My neshama is barer, it blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chol kravai, my entire kravai, my entire innards, everything within me, praises the Shem Kadsho, the holy name of Hashem. So he gave the following drasha, it's a beautiful drasha. Amar Lei, bo ure'ei shalo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. We as human beings are created b'tzelem Elokim. What does it mean to be created b'tzelem Elokim? In the image of God. What does that mean? What is the name Elokim? So if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, to the fifth chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Hei, you'll see that the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents Haya Hove Yiyah. Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem forever will be. We're not created B'Tzelem Hashem, because we weren't always and we're not always. We're created B'Tzelem Elokim. So what is Elokim? What is that name Elokim? It's not Haya Hove Yiyah. What is Elokim? Elokim, the Shulchan Aruch says, is Baal HaKochos Kulam. The one who has all of the power, all of the creative power in the world. Now, being created B'Tzelem Elokim means that we also have some of that creative power. So where do we see that manifest? Well, you see it manifest in, I don't know, saying a Chiddush. When you have a creative idea, that's using your Tzelem Elokim. Or when a husband and wife decide to try to have a child and they're blessed to produce a child, that's also using their creative abilities, literally reproductive abilities, to bring life into this world. Just like Hashem gives life, we also have the ability to create, to give life. But says the Gemara, you need to remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu as creator is different than Basar V'Dam, than human beings. Midas Basar V'Dam Tzar Tzura Al Gabe Kosel. If you draw a picture on a wall, a magnificent portrait, it's very lifelike. You're not able to breathe into that life. You're not able to put an neshama in it. You're not able, you could draw a picture of the intestines, but you're not able to create the intestines. You're not able to create the b'nei me'ayim, the innards. Now the truth is, what do you mean? I can create it, right? I'm blessed b'yayin hara with my wife to have four children. Yeah, but that's only with Hashem as the third partner. As the Gemara says, it takes three to create. A mother, a father, and Hashem. But I can't, if I draw a picture, and I try to blow life into it, I try to breathe life into it, it's not going to do anything. So I can draw a picture that is looks lifelike, but I can't actually give over life. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally took dirt and blew into it a spirit of life. The creation of Adam HaRishon. Tzar Tzura B'Soch Tzura. Not only that, Hashem draws a picture within a picture. Hashem makes a child within its mother's womb, and he's able not only to give life to the mother, but at the same time to give life to the child. And that's what Chana said, Ein kadosh ka Hashem, pasuk in Shmuel Beis, ki ein biltecha v'ein tzor kelokeinu. Ein kadosh ka Hashem, there's no one who's like Hashem, ki ein biltecha, there's nothing like you, the ain't sur kelokenu, and there's no one who's like you. The ain't sur, there's no rock like you. Now the imagery of rock, the Marsha explains on this Gemara, that a rock is just an imagery of something very strong, very powerful. But the Gemara here darshins, what does it mean that Hashem is like a rock? My ain't sur kelokenu, says the Gemara, ain't sayar kelokenu. There's no artist like Hashem. There's no artist like Hashem because Hashem can what? Hashem can not only make replicas, pictures of things, Hashem can breathe life into things. Ki ein biltecha, one more line in the Gemara. My ki ein biltecha, there's no one like you. Amr of Yehuda bar Manasseh, al tikri ki ein biltecha, ella ein levalosecha. None can outlast you. What does that mean? Shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. And now we're going to learn something very humbling. One more line. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates is not like human beings. The person who made the table that I'm sitting at, and myself, as I sit here at this table, I have reason to believe, very good reason to believe, that this table, this lifeless table that I'm sitting at, will outlive me. I have a mind. I have the Koach HaDibur. I have a neshama. I have so many more qualities that makes me seemingly greater than the table, but you know what? The table is going to outlive me. Nothing's going to outlive Hashem. Midas Basar V'dam, the way of human beings is that Maisa Yadav, you go outside, you gather some wood, you construct a chair, that wooden chair is going to live longer than you. I have a chair upstairs that's from my wife's grandfather, right? It outlived him. A chair, a lifeless chair. But Hashem outlives his actions. Hashem outlives his creations. Okay? And that's because the creations cannot exist independent of Hashem. So now let's come back with that backdrop of how amazing Hashem is as an artist and Hashem's ability to instill life, right, and to maintain life. Let's respond to the kofrim, to the meanim, to the foolish individuals and the heretics who believe that the creation, the way that Hashem creates, is the way that human beings create. Let's say you decide to create a vessel. You take silver and you mold it into a vessel. The vessel is able to exist independent of the maker, of the one who fashioned it. It doesn't need you anymore, right? You make a watch. You take pieces and you put together this magnificent, beautiful watch. Both beautiful in terms of its functionality, in terms of its physical appearance. The watch doesn't need the watchmaker anymore. The watch is able to exist independent of its creator. Ki af sheyadav misulakos heimenu v'holech lo b'shuk. When the watchmaker, so to speak, leaves that watch, when the person who fashioned that silver vessel leaves it and goes out to the street, so the vessel is able to exist, or when the object is taken to the marketplace to be sold, hakli kayam b'tavniso v'tsalmo mamish. It doesn't need the watchmaker to give it life at every second. Once it's created, it exists. The person who made this table, I have no idea who he is, but the person who made this table has no relationship with this table anymore, and the table seems to be doing just fine. This is how foolish people understand creation of the world. They think Hashem created the world. We believe that there's a creator. Hashem made it, Hashem had the raw materials, and he fashioned the world, and now the world just happens to continue to exist. And chaver, that is the biggest mistake that a person could possibly make. Ach toch meraos einehem. But their eyes are covered from seeing the truth. Hahevdel hagadol shebein maisa enish v'sach bulosav. Shehu yesh miyesh. Rak shemeshana hatsura v'atmuna mitmunas chatichas kesef litmunas kli. What do we fail to realize? What's our mistake? Maise enosh, the creations of man, are yesh meyesh. Think about it. You take a block of silver and you fashion it into a silver kiddush cup, right? So you think, wow, this is a new creation, a silver kiddush cup. But the truth is, the potential of that silver kiddush cup was already there. It was already in existence within that block of silver. So you just took the silver and you shaped it, you molded it. Let's look at the words again. Maisa enosh is yesh meyesh. You're creating something from something. You're just manipulating the factors. You're mishana the tzura. You change the picture a little bit. It used to be a block of silver, and now you you heated it and you worked with it with tools to the point that you changed the shape. But you didn't make something new. You didn't create it. The silver was already in existence. You made something from something. Yesh meyesh. Shemaim and Aret is Yesh Me'ayin. Hashem creating the world, Hashem didn't have raw materials to start with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the materials and Hashem created the world. And therefore what? And this is the point the Baal HaTanya is going to make tonight. If something is created yesh me'ayin, from Hashem's perspective and from our perspective, it continues to be created yesh me'ayin. That means that it's dependent upon its maker. As opposed to the block of silver that's shaped into something and can be left alone, the watch that's being sold in the marketplace, the table that I'm sitting at which has no relationship with its maker. But something that, what? That was created from nothing, where Hashem actually is truly the creator, that Hashem made something from nothing, that Hashem gave it existence. So that means that Hashem made it, that at every second Hashem continues to give it existence. Okay? Let's give an example, he says. Let's think about Kriyas Yamsuf, and then let's realize, as wondrous as Kriyas Yamsuf was, our life is even more wondrous. Our existence is more wondrous, and the existence of this pen that I'm holding in my hand is even more wondrous than Kriyas Yamsuf. So now, why do I look at this pen and I'm not inspired by it? I'm not wowed by it, but if we were standing by a body of water that was split in half by God, we would be wowed. So here's the answer. Says the Baal HaTanya, it all comes back to perspective. Everything in the writings of Tanya has to do with uncovering the true perspective of reality. Says the Baal HaTanya, you know why existence is more wondrous than Kriyas Yamsuf? Let's use Kriyas Yamsuf as a mashal. Shaholich Hashem es hayam beruach kadim oza kol alayla. What did Hashem do? The Pasuk says, look in Shemos, Perek Yudalad, Perek Tesvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a powerful wind, an eastern wind, that was blowing the whole night. And the wind caused v'yibaku hamayim, the water split. V'nitzvu k'mod neid v'chachoma. And the water was pushed back to stand erect like a wall. Now, how does the water stay in its place? What holds the water in its place? Well, it's Hashem at every moment sending that wind to hold the water back. Because what's the nature of water? However, let's talk it out before we read it inside. The nature of water is to flow. The nature of water is to descend. So it's only through Hashem's energy being applied to that water that the water is pressed back and forms these two walls, Kriyas Yamsuf. V'ilu hifsek Hashem es haruach karega. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would what? Would take away that powerful wind for a second. Nu, what would happen? Alex, what would happen? Naturally, the water would all go back to its place. Hayu hamayim chozrim v'nigarim b'morad kadarkam v'tivam. The water would return to its natural descent and its natural flow, as is its nature. V'lo kamu kachoma b'li safek. And it certainly wouldn't stand as a wall, right? The water would collapse. So it's only with the application of Hashem's what? With Hashem's energy being applied to the water that the water is able to take on this form. Now that's wondrous. That's unbelievable. If we would see that, we would say, wow, this is not the nature of water. But think for a second. Afsha teva hazeba mayim gam kem nivra umechudash yesh me'ayin. Even though the water itself, the very nature of water, is itself an original idea, right? Meaning that the fact that water flows the way that it does, and that the water doesn't stand in its place on its own, naturally, he says, like a chomas avanim nitzeves me'atzma b'li ruach, like a pile of rocks, right, or a pillar of rock, that stands in its place without the application of the Ruach. Rakshateva ha-mayim enokein. In other words, what he's saying is that Hashem made it that the nature of water is to flow. That itself was yesh me'ayin. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now manipulating the water. Hashem is using this Ruach to push back the water to hold it in its place. In other words, Hashem is using, so to speak, a koach of yesh me'yesh, Ruach being applied to water, not to change the very nature of water, but to just apply a certain pressure on the water to move the water back. Right? And we say, wow, it's amazing. We're not used to seeing that. It's true, it is amazing. But you know what's even more amazing? You know what's even more amazing than Kriyas Yamsuf? V'kol shekein, he says, kol shekein, all the more so, v'kal v'chomer, b'briyas yesh me'ayin, shi lamala me'ateva, v'hafle v'fela yoser me'kriyas Yamsuf, all the more so, a creation of yesh me'ayin. In other words, to take the water from the way that it exists and to manipulate it, right, is sort of, it's not all that different than us what? Than us taking that block of silver and molding it into a kiddush cup. Now, when Hashem does that with great energy and great power, we're wowed by it. Lahavdil a million, billion, trillion times over Right? When you see an athlete do something with great strength that you yourself can't do, and you're wowed by it, you're like, wow, that's amazing. Right? It's not that it's supernatural. It's not that it's yesh me'ayin. He's using yesh me'yesh. He's using kochos that he has in a particular way. But since a lot of people can't use it in that way, since a lot of people can't hit a half-court shot, so when he does, it's wow. It's unbelievable. Right? But it's a yesh me'yesh. The same way when the artist is able to take that block of silver and mold it into this magnificent artistic design, most people can't do that, so it's wow, it's impressive. But it's still yesh me'yesh. It's still just manipulating the factors at hand. When we think about our existence, which is yesh me'ayin, it's much more wondrous than Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is Hashem using great energy, great power, using the wind to hold back the waters. But Kal v'chomer, says the Balatanya, how much more wondrous, even much, much more miraculous than splitting the Yamsuf, alachas kama v'kama. Shabistalkus koach habore min hanivra chas v'shalom, yashuv hanivra la'ayin ve'efes mamish. In other words, what happens when Hashem takes back the wind? What happens to the water? The water goes back to sort of its starting point. Well, its starting point is that it flows. So when Hashem is holding the water back as walls, and Hashem removes his presence, he takes back his koach, the water collapses back into its former place, namely flowing water. So you know what happens if Hashem removes his presence from us? We also collapse back to our starting point. And you know what our starting point is? Ayin ve'efes mamish, utter nothingness. In other words, I only exist at this moment because Hashem is willing me into existence. Hashem is willing each and every one of us into our existence. And if Hashem were to take back, all the more so, and it's even more wondrous, if it's true for yesh me'yesh, right? If it's true that applied energy, if removed, things will go back to, so to speak, their natural state. So all the more so, it takes Hashem's effort, kiviyachol, to give life to something yesh me'ayin. And if Hashem removes it for a second, we wouldn't exist anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give of his life force, of his energy at every second in order to uphold that existence. Now, let me share with you a footnote. Scroll down for a second. I showed you last week, there's a beautiful edition of the Shar Yichud V'Amunah with the notes and the explanations of Rav Yoel Kahn, obviously much of it based on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he has a footnote here, and it's an important mashal for us. Again, when you're learning to expound Chassidus, you have to have different mashalim, because everything's a mashal, nothing's literal. So you need a good mashal to understand this idea. So let's use a mashal, let's learn another mashal that the Alter Rebbe chose not to use, and we'll think about it for a second why he didn't choose this mashal. But it's an important mashal also. Where do we see, as a mashal, where do we see the idea that something requires an application of energy to keep it going? So look what he says. He says, in the Ma'amari Chassidus, we find in different Ma'amarim. So for example, he quotes here the Ma'amarim Tafresh Mem Gimel, 1983, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They give another example of applied energy, giving life to something. Kasher Adam Zorek Even Milamata Lamala. Pick up a rock and throw it. Throw a rock. Now, think about your relationship with the rock after it leaves your hand. It's very fascinating. Amazing thing. Kasher Adam Zorek Even Milamata Lamala. You throw a rock upwards. He offa ba'avir zmanma. It's able to travel on its own. It flies in the sky, a rock. A rock whose very nature is to sit in its place. All of a sudden, the rock is now energized. It's alive. It's moving through the air. Va'achar kach nofeles chazar la'aretz. And then it falls back down. Kevin shema'uf ha'evin hu b'chiddush b'yachas l'teva evin. So since the flight of the rock is a novelty in comparison to the nature of a rock, which is what? Sha'arei b'tiva ha'evin yoredes milama'a lamata. Because normally the nature of a rock is if you just let it go, right, it'll fall to the ground. And here the rock is flying upwards. So what's propelling it upwards? Now obviously we understand the mashal. What's propelling it upwards is what? Is the physical exertion that you have applied to it. Im kein pu'ulas hazrika misyaches es ach v'rak l'koach. The source of the energy of the rock comes from the one who threw it. V'lechein miyad kishakola ha'koach. So when that connection wears off, because it's a limited connection, the amount of strength, however strong you are when you threw the rock, when that wears off, the rock goes back to its regular state, which is what? Which is to fall. Ha'evin nofeles miyad. Now he says, if you look in the back of my sefer, you'll see why the Baal HaTanya chose the Kriyas Yamsuf mashal as opposed to the throwing of the rock mashal. But let's think about this mashal a little bit. On a simple level, you could learn be'iyun this whole mashal. But let's think about it. What's different about our relationship with Hashem right now and the fellow who throws the rock? The difference is that when the rock leaves his hand, there's a disconnect. It may still have some of the energy that he gave to it, so to speak, but the thrower, the one who threw the rock, is no longer actively involved with the rock, right? The rock has left his hand. It's still energized by that initial exertion, that initial throw, but there's a separation that exists between what? Between the rock and the thrower. Chevra, when we look at our lives, there's no separation between us and Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu living within us and pumping us with life. And it's not that Hashem is somewhere out there and pumping life into us somewhere down here from a distance. He says, Choshuv Litzayin, we need to think about this for a second. Sheyeshnu Hevdel Gadol Bein HaMashal Mikoach HaZrika L'Nimala. We need to understand the very important distinction between the rock and the message that we're trying to convey here. Koach HaZrika HaMislab Pu'ula Nifran Mimikoro. The energy that's energizing this rock, that is somehow enveloped within the rock, is separated from its source, from the thrower. Miyad ha'adam azorik, from the one who threw the rock. Masha'ein kein lamala. But when we talk about Hashem's presence in giving life to us, ha'koach ha'eloki eino nifrad chas v'shalom mimakoro. We are never separated from the source. We're going to learn another mashal, the Mirtz Hashem, next week, halavai. We should be zochet to learn it. We're going to learn a mashal of a ray of light coming from the sun. And the relationship between the ray of light as you feel the sun on your face versus the ray of light as it exists within the sun. But before we get to that mashal, we need to understand this mashal. We need to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with us is not from a distance. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us energy and is taking a step back and allowing us again to continue on our own with that energy for a period of time. No. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every second. La'olam Hashem Dvar Chanitza B'Shamayim. It's the Dvar Hashem. It's Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem, let there be an Ami bloom. Every second Hashem is saying it over and over again. And again, if you open up Bereishis and you say, I don't see it, it's because we're not looking at the letters in a deep enough way. We have to go back to the Pesukim. We have to find our own names in it. We have to find our essence in it. Because we're all drawn from those letters of creation. Okay, let's finish the parak. V'hein hein b'chinas osios hadibor me'asara ma'amaros shebehem nivra'o. And this is what we learned last week. Again, if you'll ask, so where is this life force? From where do I receive it? I receive it from the letters of creation. From the asara ma'amaros, from the 10 utterances by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of reality. Again, using the letters in various manifestations, by manipulating the letters, by Rosh Tevos, gematrios, rearranging the letters. Depending on, again, where I am in the hierarchy of things. Right? I'm either explicitly spoken about in the Chumash, or I'm hinted to in the Chumash through the various manipulations of letters. V'alzeh nemar, and about this, the Pasuk in Nehemiah tells us, V'ata machaya eskulam. This is a beautiful drasha, look at this. V'ata machaya eskulam. What does that mean, V'ata machaya eskulam? Al tikri mechaya ela mahava. Right? Mechaya is very similar to the word mehava. What does that mean? Not just that ata mechayas kulam, that Hashem, you give them life. You give life to all of them. No. Ata mehaves kulam. Not just you give life, you give existence at every second. Dahainu yesh me'ayin, constantly recreating us. What is the word va'ata? Look at the word ata, you. Aleph tof hey. The Baal HaTanya explains. Aleph tof. Are the letters, osios, aleph, ataf, the 22 letters, the building blocks of creation, the 22 letters, the aleph base. What's the hey of the word va'ata? Well, the letters are lifeless until they're spoken. And we know that there are 5 parts of speech. The letters come from 5 different parts of the mouth. Va'hei, the letter hey of the word va'ata, hi hei motzos ha-peh, mekur ha-osios. It's the 5 parts of speech. There's letters that come from the lips, letters that come from the throat, like aleph and ches and ayin. There's letters that come from the tongue. There's letters that come There's that as comes from the palate, right? There's five parts of speech. So ata, through aleph, by taking the letters aleph to taf and breathing life into them, by speaking them, so to speak, through the five organs of verbal articulation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives life to the world. That's the Makor HaOsios, and that's the Makor HaChaim, and that's Yesh Me'ayin, that's the Va'ata Mahave Es Kulam. Va'af She'ein Lo Demus HaGuf. So now the Baal HaTani concludes the parak by saying, but what does it mean God speaks? Right? I understand what it means I speak. I see my mouth moving right now. What does it mean when God speaks? God doesn't have a mouth. When God talks, do we hear it the same way that we hear each other when we talk to each other? So the Baal HaTanya understands this might be puzzling to us. And the Baal HaTanya says, Va'af she'ein lo d'mos ha'guf. And even though Hashem doesn't have a body, Hare mikra malei divrei kasev. Yet we also can't deny the fact that the Torah says, Vayidaber Hashem, and God spoke. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said. So how does that work? How do you speak without a mouth? What is speech? In other words, he's ending the parak. We've been talking about the word of God upholding everything, right? Aaron Bluestein exists right now. Why? Because Hashem is talking about it. Hashem is literally talking about it right now. But what does it mean God is talking about it right now? What does it even mean? Hashem doesn't have a body. Hashem doesn't speak. So the Baal HaTani concludes. He says, V'hi b'chinas hisgalus hachof beis osios elyonos l'neviim. You know how Hashem speaks? Speech means revealing the 22 letters, these 22 supernal letters, these building blocks of creation. When Hashem reveals his ideas, his words, so to speak, to the Nevi'im, when the prophet is able to what? To understand what it is that Hashem is trying to convey. It's another way of saying speech. It's not Hashem talking per se. It's Hashem revealing. What is speech? What does speech do? If I want to tell you something, if I want to share my feelings with you, I want to share an idea with you, how do I give it to you? How do I share it with you? With a vehicle called speech. The definition of humanity is our ability to speak. That's what separates us from animals. So speech means revealing. Speech is the way that I reveal something. So when Hashem reveals through the 22 letters to the Nevi'im, umislabshos b'sichlam b'hasagasam b'maria nevuah, when Hashem reveals something to a true prophet, and then the Navi becomes, so to speak, the mouthpiece of Hashem to speak these letters that Hashem wants to relay to the world. Moshe Rabbeinu Adon HaNaviim, who spoke to Hashem pe'al peh. Moshe Rabbeinu, who understood Hashem better than anyone else. Ruach, as the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, Ruach Hashem diber bi umilaso alishoni. Right? The Navi speaks a language of the Spirit of Hashem speaks to me or through me, within me, umilaso alishoni, and his mila, his words are on my tongue. Ukemosha kasav ha'arizal in the Shar HaNavua. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to us? By way of the Nevi'im. By way of revealing his will to the Nevi'im. That's called speech. It's obviously different than those of us who have a physical mouth. But again, let's not make the mistake and think, well, this is real speech, and Hashem has sort of like this revelation which is called speech. No. The essence of speech is what Hashem is doing. All the talking that we do is some cheap version of this revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing to the world through the greatest minds, through the greatest prophets. Right? So those letters and the speeches that the Nevi'im give to reveal the Dvar Hashem, that's Hashem speaking. That's one way Hashem is speaking. You know another way Hashem is speaking? And go back to my, and conclude with my trusty pen. How is Hashem speaking through this pen? The pen is not talking. Hashem is not talking. I don't see any letters. All I see is a pen that says Bic on it. Round stick grip. How is Hashem speaking through this pen? Uke'ein zeh, says the Baal Tanya in the last paragraph, Uke'ein zeh hi hislabshos ha'osios bebruim. The same way that Hashem reveals his ideas, his words, his messages through the prophets, that they're actually able to then convey with their own words, their own speech, what it is that Hashem wants to say. So everything that exists is Hashem speaking. The fact that Hashem is allowing this pen to exist is Hashem speaking about this pen. Hashem is revealing this pen into the world. And that's a form of speech. That's Hashem using the 22 building blocks of creation, the 22 letters from which everything is made up, and Hashem is speaking. It's all in a whisper. And that's why we don't hear it. That's why most of the time we don't hear it. And we're not prophets. We don't see it. We don't hear it, but if we train our eyes, we train our inner eye, so to speak, we train our mind, we allow ourselves to see with our neshama, like Shema Yisrael, we cover our eyes to open up our neshama's eye, our mind's eye, right? What the pasuk calls the Chacham Einav Berosho, right? Like the pasuk says, a wise person has eyes in his head. He has eyes in his mind. He has eyes in his neshama. He's able to see, so to speak, the letters of Hashem that make up all of reality. Kedichsev bidvar Hashem shemayim nasu uveruach piv kol tzva'am. By the word of Hashem, the heavens and the earth and everything within it is created. Uveruach piv kol tzva'am. By the breath of his mouth, kol tzva'am, everything that exists is Hashem speaking to us. So don't say, oh, well, I'm not a prophet. You know, Hashem doesn't talk to me. That's like that's one of the most egregious things we could possibly. It's one of the most inaccurate critiques we could say about our relationship with God. God doesn't talk to me. Hashem doesn't speak to me. The whole world is Hashem speaking to you. We're swimming in the Dvar Hashem, in the letters of Hashem. Rak shehi al yedei hishtalshulis rabos v'atzumos atsheyordos la'asiya gufanis. But again, it has been filtered and descends and is enclosed in so many different layers of concealment to the point that it manifests itself in the physical world, in the Olam Ha'asiyah, in a guf, as a rock, as a tree, as a cow grazing in a field, as my right arm, right? All of these are just letters of Hashem in various manifestations through various revelations, right? Enclosing itself in different expressions. Masha'enken ha'sagas ha'neviim, and he ends on a very Kabbalistic note, hi ba'atzilis ha'mislabeshas ba'olam ha'briya. In other words, the Nevi'im understand something in the world of Atzilus as it becomes clothed in the world of Bria. Now, we know there's different worlds. There's Atzilus, there's Bria, there's Yetzira, there's Asiya. Again, I'm not sure exactly what the Baal HaTanya is talking about here, but what he's saying is the way the Nevi'im perceive the letters of Hashem emanating from the world of Atzilus and being received by them in the world of Bria is different than the way that we receive the letters of Hashem in the physical world of Asiya. But it's all the same idea. It's all the same thing. It's all just various manifestations, various emanations of the letters of Hashem. And therefore, again, chevra, the halacha l'maisa, the practical application for us is to realize that what? That we are in existence yesh me'ayin. And there's no guarantee that because I exist one second, I'm going to exist the next second. At any moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take back that chayos, that energy that gives life to us. And not only would we cease to exist, we would have never existed. It's as if we never were. And therefore, our job, again, is to try to feel that in our life. Again, it's very deep ideas, but it's also very practical. Ata mechaya es kulam. A Jew is never alone in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing you into existence. At the moment you're doing an aveira, Hashem is still choosing you. At the moment you're doing a mitzvah, Hashem is choosing you. When you're sleeping, Hashem is choosing you. When you wake up, Hashem is choosing you. Every move that you make, Hashem is choosing you. Every bit of your body is a choice that Hashem has made, and you're literally made up of the letters of creation. And that is an unbelievable thing. That's an unbelievable way to understand our existence. And again, it's much more wondrous than Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf is Hashem manipulating the factors that already exist to present them in a way that's a novelty. But our existence is mamish yesh me'ayin. Every second, it's yesh me'ayin. Okay, so our job is to try to feel that and to try to live with that. Okay, questions, comments. Let's hear.